Hello, everyone, and welcome to the internet's only remaining funny podcast. My name is Michael Heng, and joining me, as always, is a man who is still, I think, recording from his neighbor's apartment, which he has broken into for a second week in a row. It's Ben Jenkins.
I do wish, Michael, I do wish that you would stop saying that I've broken into my neighbor's house.
Well, how did you get in then?
I used the key that they gave me to feed their cat, who I think you can hear in the background.
Well, I think that it's not a classic break-in. It's not a break-in like a forced entry.
Yeah.
But it's a psychological break-in, you know?
I jimmied the door open with my key.
Exactly. No, I'm saying that, like, you started this weeks ago, you know? You started by you buttered them up. You flattered them. You gained their trust.
I said, hey, you guys should go to New Zealand for a while. So visit the family.
And then
I went into the middle of the eastern suburbs, Westfield, and dropped a vial of coronavirus.
It's lovely to see you from this location, Ben.
It's a lovely place. They're staying a little longer because I don't know if you read the news, Michael, but there's a lot of coronavirus about.
There's not a ton
in New Zealand, so they're not coming home
They've made their choice. Well, someone who doesn't have coronavirus, and in my opinion, never will, is our guest today.
Thank you, Michael.
It's Alex Lee. Hello, Alex.
It's true. I'm coronavirus's worst enemy. Tried to get me once and I said, back off. Like you do. You can actually ward away coronavirus with self-defense moves you learn in high school PE.
Really?
Yeah.
Eyes, nose, throat, nuts, nuts, nuts.
Yeah.
That's how you ward off the coronavirus?
That's right.
I did not know that. That's very
well,
cool.
Not enough people do, Ben. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's a Freddie Good Home exclusive here. It's a Freddie Good Home exclusive.
You shout if you see that little spiky ball coming towards you, you say back off,
go, back off, and then you yell,
shout fire. Yeah, I think the same guy came to every school.
Yeah.
How are you, Al? Are you well?
I'm so good. I'm thriving. I mean, I did. In our chat just earlier, call a microphone cable a little bitch-ass cable. So I think we can all agree that my mental state has never been better.
Yeah.
So for international listeners, we are in, I guess, week like 5 maybe or something of lockdown here in Sydney.
Yeah.
And you know, it's we had a pretty good year without COVID, and now it's rearing its ugly head again.
Yeah,
and
we weren't locked down for a long time, and now we're just seeing what it's like if we do. I think this A/B testing, I reckon not being locked down will probably end up more popular.
You prefer the not being locked down of the two?
I got to say, I've got a pretty strong preference for not being locked down.
Personally, I don't mind it. I mean, look, I obviously. You know, I hate going outside and speaking to anyone anyway, unless we're recording it and making content out of it.
But
so
also,
it's really
Michael, you're
me.
not really locked down because you're still going into work. Because
that's true, and I'm also
because
exactly.
The insane government has decided that what you do with Lewis Hobber is essential, which is insane to me.
Have we talked about this on the podcast?
I don't believe so.
So last year, when I just started the job at radio, they basically dragged us into a room. And they said, guys, if things get real, and this is going to sound like a bit, but this is not a bit. I promise you this is 100% true. They dragged us into a room and they said, guys, if things get really serious, just know that your show is the last show at the ABC that will go off air. And we're like,
what do you mean?
They were like, basically, because our show is so cheap to make, but reaches so many people.
Right.
It's the last thing to go off air at the ABC, or it's like one of the last three. I think it's us, and then an emergency news bulletin. But
you very rarely see that in disaster movies, do you? You very rarely see the comet is still heading for Earth, sort of announced by Boingo and Dogfuck, which is what I think your on-air nicknames are. I got to say, I haven't listened in a while.
Yeah, Boingo and Dogfuck here. We're giving away a ute filled with cheese.
Classic Triple J stuff, giving away utes with a lot of our budget. So if there are like tanks in the streets and stuff, we're still going to be going in every day, despite the fact,
I just wonder, Michael, and I don't want to cast aspersions on your professionalism, but do you think since they dragged you into a room to tell you this information that they didn't want you to say it on their podcast?
No, what's it gonna? But what are they gonna?
It sounds confidential, doesn't it?
It does. Why? Set you what's very rarely.
What's the secret? What's the possible secret?
I don't know, very why they just rarely. Walk into your staff room and then just yeah. yell it. That's all.
Very
I'm
rarely
wondering.
Do you go, hey, Michael and Lewis, can we just have a chat in here for a second? Thanks. Janice, close the door. Okay. Now, first of all, tell anyone this.
This information is yours. Do with it what you will. That's basically what we're dealing with here. No, yeah. So, I'm according to the Australian government, and the broadcasting arm of the government, I am actually very essential. And I'd like you two to respect that, please.
To treat me as such.
Yeah, please. I'm the mouth. I'm once there are tanks in the streets, I'll be the one announcing who the tanks are allowed to shoot. That's my job.
I don't think that's.
Yeah, wow.
I don't get to decide, but I do get to be the mouthpiece of whoever does decide.
Sure.
Yeah. So
whichever
yeah.
government takes over. When we get invaded, whichever government takes us over, you will remain the mouthpiece of that.
Oh, Michael Hing is nothing but a Quisling. Let's be really clear. Like, there's no way that Michael Hing doesn't kowtow to, you know, a soft breeze if it threatens to.
Yeah, no. Whether it was over. it could be we could be invaded by New Zealand, by China, by Indonesia, by the US, by England, whoever it is. I will happily serve our new fascist overlords.
They have a friend in Michael Hing.
Wow. Yeah. And can I just say to anyone who's listening to this after we've invaded, if you're just going to the back catalogues and it's, you know, I don't know, Prime Minister Modi or is President Modi? Look, whoever it is. Look, whoever's listening to this, if you've taken over Australia, please get in contact with me. I've got lots of followers on Instagram. Uh-huh. Happy to make them serve you as well. Really happy to be of service here.
You're being a dictator influencer.
Yeah, wow.
Wow, that's really good you put those systems in place to make sure that happens.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, I don't think it would have ever occurred to Modi that Australia would be a target, but I know he listens, so I'm really hoping that this doesn't set off a chain of events from which there is no return. Alex, I've got to ask, how we have children that are almost identical ages. How are you going in lockdown with Xavier?
Oh, luckily he doesn't like leaving the house and he doesn't like sharing with other kids. So
it's a real Michael Hing.
He's a real Michael Hing.
No, that's an awful thing to say about someone's child. Sorry.
You shouldn't have said that. It was uncalled for. no, it's okay. I mean, luckily, we can still go to the playground. And I realized I did something psycho today. I was trying to teach him about sharing. So he saw this kid had a little, like, plastic shopping trolley, and he just ran up and tried to snatch it. And the kid was like, no, it's mine. And Xavier was like... It's my trolley with one wheel. And I was like, look, you don't even know what it's called, so it's clearly not yours. And the kid snatched it, and the kid left with his parents. And I was like, Xavier, if you want to play with that kid's shopping trolley, maybe you should introduce yourself and say, hello, my name is Xavier. What's your name? And then...
What you got there?
And then say, And then he jumped in. He's like, can I have trolley? And I was like, no, not yet. And then maybe you say something like, oh, I've got a spade. Do you want to play with my spade?
This is psycho shit, Alex.
And I was like, oh, is this just... And I looked at my husband and I was like, am I just teaching my son to be as manipulative as I am?
Yeah, you are.
Because then he called me on it when I was like, look, if you want the shopping trolley, why don't you say, hey, let's play shops. You can be the shopkeeper. And then, my friend, you get everything you want.
Yeah.
And then I took a moment and I realized that's psycho, isn't it? It's a bit psycho.
Hard to tell. I don't have any experience in being a parent. So, Ben, if you want to be the expert here in terms of how to raise a not psycho child.
Sure. Well, Moses right now is in a stage where he will melt down at simply the drop of a hat. So the conversation you had with Xavi is impossible to have with Moses right now because he's screaming. I don't feel like I'm in a position, if Mo ever does kind of come out of this phase, which as Alex knows, when children are in this phase, you're like, well, I guess they're like this forever. But if he ever does, I think I'm going to try that because I realized something about Mo the other day, which was quite frightening, in that he, and I think all toddlers are like this in a way, they are experts in human weakness. Like they don't even know that they're doing it. But like, so when we put Mo down for his nap, regardless of like how tired he is or whatever, like he will always try and prolong having to us turn out the light, right? So like you'll be like, you read the last story, he's in his cot, you'll say, see you in a little bit, buddy, have a great nap, and then he'll say something to you like
Do you love me? Have you ever loved me?
Well, I was comparing notes with my mother-in-law and my wife, and he shouts different things depending on who's doing it because he knows. So like, so for Bella, who's his mother-in-law, it's I'm hungry.
His grandmother.
That's of course her weakness.
It's of course her weakness.
She's the one who made your cat so fat it exploded.
Exactly. She's a Jewish grandmother. And he says, I'm hungry. And she just like the next half hour is her sort of playing.
Bring a charcuterie platter or something.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't fly with Anya. But what does fly is he says, I have a tummy ache. Because Anya is like a little bit more elevated in terms of like, hey, what's up? You know what I mean?
So
like,
can I guess what he says to you to manipulate you, Ben?
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think you're going to get it, but maybe you will.
Sure. Okay. Does he say, hey, dad, I've got a jelly bean. Would you like half my jelly bean? Does he offer to share a jelly bean with you, Ben?
Alex, do you want to guess?
I think he's like, hey, dad, you know that joke you told to me earlier? Was that yours?
What was that?
I just feel like I heard another dad saying it at the park. I'm just wondering if it was yours.
And then we have like a half hour discussion about.
Sorry, who did you hear say it? Did Mark say it? Did Mark Sutton? Did Uncle Mark say it? Is that who you heard? Because he might have got it from me. Do you understand? He might have actually heard me say it.
He listens to my podcast, so.
So I don't.
Yeah. No, do you know what he says? He says, "Dad, I'm scared," and that really gets me right there. So
yeah. Wow. Yeah.
You know what my son said?
Also
to
because
me.
I'm yeah.
Oh, sorry. You go.
Oh, it gets me because I'm also afraid of monsters. So
sure, when he says I'm scared,
I tend to flip out. What does your son say, Al?
He said to me the other night, same thing, I was leaving, and he said, Daddy hit me in the head with a big hammer.
What? Fuck.
And I was like, I don't read parenting books, but I do follow a parenting Instagram, and I think that's the same thing.
That's the same
thing. Sure, sure.
And they said, you know, you should always, you know, believe your children. Oh. And I was like, okay. With a big hammer? He hit you on the head.
I'm just imagining you like immediately just storming into the lounge room and going, what the fuck, Benedict?
Benedict! What is
your problem?
With a big
huge hammer? Really? Really, Benedict? A huge hammer?
Yeah.
So can I share? I obviously don't have, like I said, I don't have any expertise being a parent of a psycho child, but I do have the expertise of being a child to an absolutely psycho parent. Sure. And obviously in lockdown, everyone's family tensions are, you know, all over the shop and whatnot. I just wanted to share with you guys something that's happened in our family group chat this week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
I thought it would be funny. So I'll just hold this up. You can see, you can't really see, but there's basically my sister has sent a video to the family group chat of her wonderful new child, you know, a couple months old, a beautiful baby, a human baby.
Great.
And in the video, her husband, the father of the child, is sort of holding it like you would hold a baby and sort of like jiggling it, you know, just a cute family group chat video of the baby.
Yeah.
My mother has replied to the family group chat, heart attack alert for people shaped like, and then an apple emoji, right?
What the fuck is she talking about?
So she's saying, if you are shaped like an apple, you're going to get a heart attack, right? We're all confused by this. We're like, why has mum said this?
I'm confused.
Why is this the thing mum is replying to the video with? Uh-huh. And then she screenshot the video at a specific part where you see the waistline of my brother-in-law, right? who I need to say on the record is not a fat man. He's not a fat man at all, right? Mum has screenshot that and she's circled in yellow the offending portion of the waist that she thinks
oh my God.
Yeah, right. Okay. Again, I cannot stress this enough. He is a regular sized individual, right?
Even if he were enormous.
Yeah, even then, psycho, right? So then mum screenshots that and says, "You need to take care of his health." This is to my sister.
Is he in the group chat?
He is, and he's remaining silent as the grave.
Silent as an apple.
He's not saying anything.
That's smart.
Yeah, and then basically mum goes, obese people, so now she's saying he's obese. She goes, obese people have more complications if they catch COVID. Also, risk of early heart attack and diabetes. People with fatty liver have more strokes. And then do something now, 3 exclamation marks.
That's so crazy. Shit.
And this goes on for texts and texts. I'm not saying anything. No one, everyone else is just like, what the fuck is mum doing? Shut the fuck up. Joey, my sister, has just decided to just fucking go in, right?
Oh, wow.
By being like, why is this my responsibility? You should be talking to him about this. You know,
oh, my God, that's not the response.
sure, but it comes back. So then.
Sorry, I love that your family is so weird that you didn't pick up that's probably not.
It's yeah. It's so cruel.
Talk to my husband like that.
Yeah. Just like, oh, sorry. This is not my problem. He can take care of his own health. All right. Then Joey sends this photo of like a cheese board to the family group chat saying, this is what we're having for lunch, right? Which has sent my mother into a conniption, right? Because obviously cheese, that's cholesterol, that's fat, you're going to die.
I can tell you that for free. Yeah, absolutely.
This goes back and forth for a bit. Until, this is going to sound like I'm outing Hum for something. I just want to say that she has talked publicly about her terrible cholesterol, right?
Oh, yeah.
About that.
She and I text about our cholesterol. We're cholesterol buds now. Younger listeners that you may not realize is that when you get into your 30s, you have friends who you text about your cholesterol with. You know the friends that you text right now about drugs and things?
MDMA and whatnot?
Yeah, it's just like cholesterol. That. You talk about cholesterol.
Okay. So with that in just to say, Hum has already talked about this publicly, about her what she describes as her dangerous levels of buttery arteries. Mm-hmm. Joey then just writes this, at Linda Hing, why aren't you chastising at Michael Hing for at Hamira's cholesterol? Right. So she's dragging me to this.
Holy shit, your family's like, a nest of vipers.
Yeah. So then I've just written back, will you please leave me out of this, right?
Again, then, it's not like, hey, this is bad. We should be talking about anybody's health. This is, hey, this isn't my problem.
Okay, at which point my mum writes, it's because my grandchild needs a healthy father and Michael hasn't had any kids yet.
Oh, wow.
Fuck me.
Yeah, that's, proper psycho stuff.
Let us
anyway.
Know when she body shames the baby for packing on the kg.
It's I think it's extraordinary that I haven't grown up more insane.
Oh, you
know?
You're pretty obviously, nuts, man.
Like- I know. But when you're but this is on the reg in the family group chat. Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, I think I actually deserve a medal for not being more insane.
All right. Well, maybe one.
Silence.
Maybe
silence from you guys.
One of our listeners can. Yeah. I'm not really sure, Michael. Leave it with me, and I'll have a think about what kind of medal we could give you.
Okay,
guys,
thanks everyone. I'd really appreciate a medal.
Guys, this is Free to a Good Home, a podcast where we go through the week's classifieds and find the best and stuff worst stuff to talk about. If you been a long-time listener, you'll notice something a little bit different in that I think we have post-roll ads now.
Do we?
These are
what
ads
does
that
mean,
come on.
Post-roll?
It's ads that come on at the very end of the podcast.
What are we advertising for?
Oh, well, remember, Michael, we had to go through that huge list with the podcasting people
and select.
I just got a text message from Hum that said, is he talking about my cholesterol again? He's obsessed with my buttery arteries.
She's in the next room. We're all in lockdown, all right?
So, yeah, we had to go through this very long list of ads, Alex, which I think you had to do with us for Dragon Friends when we started putting ads on that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And sort of opt out of various things that we didn't want ad. But I did want to say that if you listen to this podcast and in that post roll you get an ad for anything crook, please do reach out. Because one of the things that we did have to opt out of was hate crimes. So If something goes wrong and you get an ad for hate crimes, why we would simply love to know.
Yeah, but that was an option of one you could keep.
Yeah, yeah. It's. I think it was hateful content. I think is the thing you have to opt out of.
No,
so there should be no hateful content advertised.
Very
but
firmly tick that box.
Yeah, obviously, you know, Tom and Demi, when they were using an advertising service for their podcast, for Big Soft Titty, they had advertising for ASIO that they didn't know about for ages. So obviously mistakes happen. Mm. So again, if you get any horrific ads for us, please.
I think those ads for ASIO were actually placed by our international enemies who were trying to recruit the softest possible idiots into the Australian military.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, let's get to a classified. Ben, do you have one to start us off?
You know, guys, I do. I do have one to start us off. And this one was posted in our group, in our Facebook group by Ed Griffiths. So thank you very much, Ed. It's from Marketplace in Melbourne on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And here it is. Do you guys want me to describe the image first or the words?
Let's go image first, yeah. I reckon.
Okay. It is an image, guys, of a bunch of human bones.
Okay.
How are they arranged?
They are arranged not in the dem bones order.
It's a pile of bones in a box. A pile of bones in a box.
I will say the spine bones are connected to the hip bones, but that's sort of it. There's a spine, and then you have like all the arm bones and the leg bones kind of tossed together as one. These are it's hard to tell from a photo, but these look to be very much real bones. And that's relevant because of what the copy is.
Sure.
The copy is, and punctuation is very important here because the first word is plastic, right?
Uh huh.
Okay.
But that word plastic is in inverted commas.
So it's plastic.
And then there are three winky emojis.
Okay.
So it's plastic, wink, wink, wink.
Do you know what it is? Actually, it says plastic and then winky, 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 and then half skeleton, including skull. So I don't think this actually has... I'm actually not sure what's missing because looking at the pile of bones, you've got hips, you got... You just might not have legs. I think
you probably don't have like hands and feet, maybe.
I can see some hands, yeah.
What about
the
ear bones, like the little tiny ones?
Well, I'm looking at the
bones
skull.
In the ear?
The tiniest bone is in the ear.
Are they real bones, Al, or are they like, you know, people like, a tomato is actually a fruit? Are they like...
Well, that's also real.
No, I just mean, are they like gimme bones, like just little trivia bones that aren't really bones?
I think it is a, you know, it classifies. It's not like some cartilage or something.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, right. I don't know if you get ear bones because the picture of the skull, which is horrifying, is sort of shadowed out.
So I've got to say, I want some more information.
Well, here's the copy. I have to... Description. Oh, sorry. This is just in Melbourne, Victoria.
Uh-huh.
The condition is used, as I suppose all skeletons are.
Sure.
But in good condition. Description. I have to say plastic, winky face. If interested, message me before it gets pulled by Facebook again.
Oh, shit.
Post your cost, no problem. What does ONO mean? Or nearest offer? Okay.
I think it's or nearest offer. Yeah.
Yeah. So post your cost at no problem. And this is going for $800 Australian.
$800 wow. For a plastic half skeleton.
Yes.
So is it illegal to sell bones in Australia? Let me Google that.
Well, it's gotta be.
Hing, I reckon you'd get better results if you Googled selling human remains. I think that would be...
Oh, sure. So there's an act in 1982 called the Human Tissue Act.
Would love to know what precipitated that act.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, would love to know what scandal precipitated the passing of the Human Tissue Act.
So, but according to the Human Tissue Act in Australia, it is illegal to buy or sell any human remains.
Otherwise they'd be, you know, the grave diggers, they'd be out looting all the cemeteries.
Well, I'm no lawyer, but I'm married to one, so I think that counts when I say I don't think that bones are human tissue. So, you're...
Well, it's any human remains. I know it's called the Human Tissue Act, but it actually covers any human remains. In fact, in 2019, it seems... Lawson's, an auction house.
I get a lot of stuff from Lawson's.
Well, the Sydney auction house Lawson's.
Those are my skeleton guys.
This is quite funny because they advertised a sale, a box of human bones, for about $100 to $150, right?
Wow.
That was what they thought was going to go for, $100, $150, right? But the thing is, it was part of a deceased estate.
Yeah, Lawson's is all deceased estates.
I guess it's unclear to me if the deceased person owned the bones because they had a skeleton in their parlor, or they're selling the bones of someone who also they're selling the couch of. Do you know what I mean?
Bones.
They found the bones
on the couch and they were like, well, let's pack this up.
They set everything in the apartment, so okay.
Because estate sales are often to cover debts. So maybe this person's debts were so huge that they were like, well, the vases and the lamps and the chaise lounge isn't going to cut it. We got to sell grandpa's bones as well.
Holy now, is there, goodness. But is, aren't there, I guess I'm being very, I am quite ignorant about this, but aren't there, there are certain cultures around the world where like human remains are like part of the grieving process, or not the grieving process, but it's like part of the thing, right? It's like turning someone's skull into an ornament or something is like part of the, that's part of the vibe.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know, I can't speak to like specifics, but I do know that like, Western culture around sort of bodies and corpses and things is a lot more, what's the word? Like, not squeamish, like, but...
Heebie-jeebed?
Yeah, exactly. Westerners are a lot more heebie-jeebed than other cultures are by sort of remains. Yeah.
I'm taking a guess. I think it's like Tibet has like...
Yeah. By the way, when making sweeping generalizations about a culture, it's always best to just take a guess.
I'm pretty sure I've been to a museum where I've seen, and these are probably pretty old, so I don't imagine it's like commonplace in like Tibet now, but I'm pretty sure there's like a kind of bowl made out of like the top of your skull in Tibet.
Okay.
It's called like a skull bowl or something. Let me Google it.
I mean, sure, but if that was before bowls were invented, then...
Well, exactly. If you can think of a better way to find a sort of half sphere or a dome, I'd love to hear it. Alex Lee, skeleton, $800, half a skeleton.
Any interest, Al?
Any interest? What would I do with it?
Well, maybe you could use it to teach your son a lesson about sharing. The skeleton could be free he's got to share the shopping trolley with, you know?
This boy didn't share.
And look what happened to
him. What happened? He didn't share his flesh, but they took it in.
No, he did. He shared it too.
Oh, yeah. No, I've given a reverse lesson. This boy shared too much of his flesh. And now he's a skeleton. So then
you
I have to
find
say,
the sweet
and
spot,
he's
Zadie.
Never been happier.
Yeah.
That's parenting.
Look at the smile on his skull. He's never been happier.
Did you believe in skeletons as a kid?
What the fuck are you talking about, Michael?
Like, I don't mean the existence of human skeletons. I mean like spooky skeletons.
Playing type.
Exactly. The kind of skeleton that plays xylophones on its ribs. Did you... Was
no,
there an age?
Because there was never a... What the fuck are you talking about? There was never like a... The reason why you believe in like Santa Claus is because you have adults who tell you... What did your parents tell you?
No, I feel like there was just a time in my life where I probably would have been like, oh, yeah, skeletons. That makes sense.
Isn't it funny, like, though? Because all the spooky paraphernalia is made up, and then they just throw in a real one. It's like vampires, not real. Monsters, goblins, not real. Werewolves, not real. Skeletons, they are real. They're a real thing. Yeah.
They live inside all of us.
Yeah, ready to leap out your throat at any moment.
I feel like there was a time where if my parents had brought home a skeleton from Lawson's or from Facebook Marketplace or whatever, and they were like, this will come to life, I would have been like, oh, okay, well, I need to kill it then.
If you put on any more weight, Michael, this will come to life.
They said, this is your Finspo, Michael.
Get on the treadmill, fatty.
Michael, do you have another classified for us to just enjoy?
I do indeed. This one was sent in by Josh Laurie. Thank you, Josh. It's a little bit gross, if I'm honest.
Okay.
It's a little bit gross.
Well, you are the one who chose to read it, so.
Yeah, but it's pretty funny.
Let's not put this on Josh.
I don't know where this has been taken from. Josh has actually blurred out where this has been taken from because I think maybe they, don't want us to know where they are. But it's from Craigslist, and it's entitled, I Cut Grass for Free and Also Eat Pussy.
Oh!
Hi. Need help with that pesky grass that keeps growing? Spare yourself and don't sweat. I come, mow your lawn for free, and also eat your pussy. Only if you want to. Shirtless service. Ladies only, no chumps. Actually, if you have beer, I might consider it. But just the shirtless mowing, not anything else. God bless and stay coronavirus safe. Thank you, Josh, for finding that and setting that in.
Wow. I've seen a few of these. I like not this specific ad, but there's a genre of Craigslist or Gumtree listing which is like, I'll clean the floors and then I'll fuck you good. And it's a bit like we discussed recently about why key cutting and shoe repair are bundled in. Like, I think these are separate, discrete services that actually require different skills.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think there's any transferable skill from cutting grass and cunnilingus, I don't think, personally.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they're mutually exclusive. I think that would be a bridge too far, guys. I don't think...
But it's not like being good at one will make you good at the other.
Well, exactly. And that's why I think the key cutting and shoe repair analogy is particularly apt.
The only thing I could possibly see...
Sure.
Is the shirtless service aspect of this,
mm-hmm.
where... He is sort of saying, this guy's
Are you guys hearing that? Are you guys hearing that cat meowing plaintively in the background?
I thought it was a baby crying in my apartment and was ignoring it.
Well, I'm just flagging it. Sorry. I just wanted to break up your momentum.
Is the cat okay?
Oh, she's fine. She's just a real pat goblin and I'm not giving her pats right now.
All right.
Come here, Coco. Right. There we go. There we go, my little mushusha.
Okay. I think that it's the shirtless service aspect of this that I think is kind of a clue as to who might like this. I think if you're someone who has a thing for shirtless, like landscape gardeners or something, I think this is the service for you. If you're a fan of backyard hunk Jamie Jury,
sure.
Live
out that kind of fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where like the lawn man comes to do the lawn and then, you know.
He looks so distressed by this.
He looks so distressed.
I'm just trying to figure out what's in it for him. Like, assume that if I just called and I was like, look, let me be clear, not interested in the pussy eating, but you're just going to come and mow my lawn for free?
Yeah. That seems what it is.
Do you think he'd be really shirty, like when he came over?
Well, no, he's shirtless. Specifically going to be shirtless.
Do you think he'd mow like with a bit of an attitude? Like,
do you know what I think it is, Al?
He wasn't going to eat pussy afterwards.
Yeah, you know how like I actually think what he'd do is worse than that. You know how like people get lured into like no obligation, just like come and listen to this timeshare seminar, and then they really put the hard word on you before you can have the free lunch or whatever it is they're putting on.
Do you think he'd talk about it the way you know how like sometimes you speak to someone and get a quote on a thing, and they tell you all this other stuff you need.
Yeah.
For example, if you go, like, the classic one is to go to the mechanic and you go, oh, I just need to get this tire change, or I just need to get this oil change, whatever. And they're like, oh, did you know that this bit of your car's all fucked up as well?
Sure.
Do you think the guy coming around to be like, all right, so you think your lawn done? Oh, that pussy looks really uneaten.
Look, mate, I'll tell you what I tell everybody else. I don't have to eat the pussy, but someone's going to have to do it, you know, in
eventually,
3 to 4 months.
Eventually, it's an hour and 6 months.
Yeah,
so
it's
going to
be a lot more expensive.
What? I think the funniest possible thing to do would be, like, to set it up and be like, and then on the day be like, cool, I'm not going to be home. Like, the mower's on the lawn.
And he's got a code, so he's got to do it. You know what I mean? This strikes me as a man with a code, so he's got to do it.
Do you have a lawn at your house, Ben?
Look, it's a bit of a sore spot because we do have a lawn, but we've had it re-turfed like twice now, and it just...
You've only been there for like a year.
Year and a half, and it just keeps dying.
Oh,
I think,
no.
Yeah, we've tried two different kinds of grass.
Has someone salted the earth?
It's possible that Moses is doing that.
Got to go over to her house when you like just re-turfed it.
It was beautiful.
Beautiful.
Moses and Xavi played cricket on it. It was like a wonderful
they
afternoon.
They salted the earth.
They salted the earth.
Get a lovely
dog. Wait a second. Yeah.
Have you had a lawn guy come around and be like, this is what's wrong with your lawn?
Yeah. We actually had a lawn guy come around and then like sort of check in every couple of weeks. Just like you'd be sitting outside and then his little nose would pop up over the hedge and he'd be looking at the lawn. It's actually slightly unsettling, if I'm honest with you.
Can I ask, Ben?
Yeah.
When he, and obviously you don't have to answer this question, but when he came over and so you were negotiating the services, did he say to you, can I go down on you? And did you say sort of, no, I'm not interested in that? And he said, well, good luck keeping that lawn alive.
Oh.
I mean, look, he did, but I didn't really think anything of it at the time. I just thought that was sort of regular tradie speak. But now that you mention it, yeah.
So it's like being cursed by an old witch, you know. But in this instance, it's a lawn guy.
Yeah. So maybe you don't want to get into sort of dealing with this person because it might be a similar situation.
Yeah.
Every yeah.
Time
very
he
much so.
And cuts your grass, and you don't let him eat your pussy, then he's gonna put salt on it. Just like what happened to Ben. So let this be a lesson to you, you all listening out there.
I got to mow that grass maybe like three times before it just started dying.
So, what's wrong with it?
Oh, it's just, well, Michael, it's not alive. It's dead. That's
right, classic dead.
I don't want to, if I'm sort of house MDing my lawn, I'd say that the main problem is that it's dead.
The main problem is you're addicted to painkillers. That's the main problem.
Yeah, well, that colours sort of everything.
Most of your diagnoses.
I'm genuine, like, are the roots not taking or like, what's going on? You
well, Alex, have you ever maintained a garden in the inner west of Sydney?
No, I've never maintained a garden.
Because there's an awful lot of lead in the soil, and I don't think that helps.
Yeah.
I think it's the 1-2 punch of very toxic soil and about an inch thick worth of dirt before you hit sort of sandstone and asbestos from previous owners.
Sure.
So
Could you buy some new dirt off the internet?
Yeah, because
we've
mocked people on the podcast before for doing exactly that. But who the fuck would buy just a bunch of dirt? One thing that we decided not to do this time I got re-turfed is just totally just re-dirt it.
Right.
So I think that's going to be the next step. But
what if you concrete pave it?
That's and, you know
or
what
AstroTurf. Have you thought about AstroTurf?
I've got to say it's pleasant.
As Alexi Toliopoulos told us on this very podcast, the Greeks love to concrete their backyard so Satan can't escape hell.
What if, you know that, I haven't been to a child's playground in a long time, but the one
good.
We used to go, yeah, which is good, but the one I used to go to in Illawong, where we used to live, used to have this sort of... I would call it like an aerated spongy, like one day they got rid of all the wood chips because people were getting too many splinters, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they replaced the wood chips at the base of the playground with like an aerated spongy material.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know the kind of material
I'm talking about? I know exactly what you're talking about.
Why don't you get that on your front lawn? That'd be fucking sick.
That's so true.
I think that would be a kind of invitation for the local children to come play because it would look exactly like a play. I think you're right.
Imagine if your son, Ben, Moses, I think is his name.
Yep.
Imagine if he then became the kid at daycare or school or wherever who had a fucking playground in his front yard. He'd be so fucking cool.
Yeah.
It's got real Richie Rich overtones, doesn't it? like when people found out that I think it was Barbara Streisand had like a replica shopping center in her basement.
Yes.
Michael Hing, do you have one to take us home with?
Wait.
I did that one. So, Alex, can you throw it out?
Well, no. You heard me, Michael. Alex Lee, can you take us home with a delightful classifier?
I would love to. This is from Genevieve. Thank you, Genevieve.
Thank you.
My female, 52, husband, M, 58. Oh, and good on her for posting on relationship advice at her advanced age. I gotta say, it's nice. All right.
I'd like to apologize to any listeners in their 50s who just heard Alex describe them as in advanced age, like they were the face of Bo.
Also, just so I'm clear, Al, like I know like we're all like acutely aware of our age because we work in the entertainment industry,
sure,
but not everyone does, and it's not a death sentence for other people to be in their 50s like it is for us.
I see. See, I don't even know. I'm not even going to bother existing by then. Gonna turn skeleton.
Yeah, right. You're gonna activate skeleton mode.
Yeah. Pop myself into a box, put a label that says Lawson, and I'll be done. My husband is
okay. Sorry. So
nice little nest egg for Xavi.
My husband is turned on because I got stung by bees on my privates. Any more information required? Throw away because. This is embarrassing. I've recently started keeping bees, as it has been a lifelong dream of mine. I have two hives. Today, I went down to check on them, and I was wearing a pair of loose gym shorts.
Uh-huh.
Long story short, I ended up being stung multiple times on my genitals.
Mm-hmm.
They are now grotesquely swollen and very painful.
Oh.
I asked my husband to come check and make sure I had the stingers out, but I noticed that he had an erection while I was crying in pain.
Oh.
He admitting the swelling turns him on and has hinted that he would like to have sex while everything is still swollen. He even suggested delaying taking Benadryl for a couple of hours. I was furious and refused, and he asked if I would put on the bee hat and veil and let him take bottomless pictures of me for him to enjoy later.
Oh.
I'm so mad and horrified. I yelled at him and sent him outside, but I suspect that he is in his shop pleasuring himself right now. I don't know what to do.
This is so horrible, but I'm just imagining like... I'm just imagining her being like, I don't want to look at you. You leave the house. And then he leaves the house and she shouts after, hey, 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 and hey. No wanking.
No. Stop it.
Guys, I don't care for this at all. We really try and be a sex positive podcast, Al, as you'll know from being on a number of times. I think what gets me is the lack of compassion here for somebody getting stung on their genitals.
I think sure, be sex positive, but you got to be a husband first and a pervert second.
That is a great tip for anyone. That is such good relationship advice to everyone. You need to be a partner first and a pervert second.
Yeah,
think
that's
about
right.
That.
Partner first, pervert second. She's got stingers. Who is beekeeping in loose gym shorts? Like that.
Yeah.
Let's not put this on her, but yes, I agree. That's
there's a reason they have there are protective equipment to it for bees. Wonder.
So your husband doesn't masturbate in his workshop when your genitals are stung by bees.
Here's my thought on the matter. Uh-huh. I'm trying to put myself in her position, and obviously, you know, I live a different life to her and everything else. But if my penis was stung by bees and was very swollen, and then my partner said to me, "Would you like to have sex?" I'd be like, "No, I would not like to do that at all." Right?
Wow, that's incredible empathy you've shown.
I can imagine a world in which my partner, who was, in this instance, let's assume it's not Hum, but it's just someone who is turned on by swollen genitals or whatever. If they sort of said to me, "Oh, well, I read in a book that I had to suck out the poison or something," right? And I let them do that, and then they went and jerked off afterwards. Maybe that'll be like, maybe for me, again, for me personally, I'm not saying anyone else should feel this way. For me personally, I'd be like, all right, fair enough. Like that's, you know, I think that's okay.
Do you believe them that they're sucking out the poison?
Well, I guess, I mean, in this situation, it's an emergency. I don't know. Like,
right, so you've
been bamboozled into getting your dick sucked.
Wow, Michael. You're a real rube. Just when that that fast-talking flim-flam man rolls into town and convinces you.
It's like that time we all went to the carnival and he said to me, hey, if you can knock down these milk bottles with this baseball, you can win. You can win a free bear. And I was like, great. And next thing I know, I was getting my dick sucked.
76 trombone. You know, I'm making an assumption that they've been married for a while, but maybe they remarried. But but if they have been married for a while, this is a long time to keep that under wraps.
Imagine if it's been like 25 years and you didn't know that that was your husband's kink.
I guess it's like such a specific thing. Like I think most people would only have swollen bee stung genitals, hopefully, you know, at the most once in their life.
You know how last week we mentioned in the episode with Jacob Reed, we were talking about the possibility of going to marriage counselling. And I was, and Jacob said something about like in I think Catholicism, they take men and women into different rooms and they go, just so make sure you're all on the same page before you get married, that kind of thing, right? Do you think there is a market for a service where before you get married or even the early stages of dating, right, you go into a room with I don't want to say pervert, but someone who's like pervert adjacent, right?
Sure.
And you get to write down on a list or tell that person all of the your weirdest kinks or whatnot, like all the stuff that you're into that you never want your partner to know necessarily, unless there was some sort of crossover, right? So you get to write it on a list. And then they also get to write it on a list.
And then they cross-reference it.
And they go, yeah, exactly. And they go, all right, well, if you're both into bee stung genitals, all right, you know, you gotta take
that's
turns.
That's really brilliant.
I mean, as you know, a network of perverts that you've built up over the years who listen to this podcast, is this a service you are offering to your listeners?
I would happily do it.
If you're in a relationship. Yeah,
if you want to, both give Michael Hing a list.
I will say that Michael, or your kinks or whatnot.
I will say that Michael Hing loves two things. He loves helping people find a sex positive way to enjoy each other and blackmail. So it will be interesting to see which of those wins out here.
and of course, if you are, you know, Emmanuel Macron, and you want to get in touch with your kinks, please do. You know, if you're a world leader, if you're Modi, not only will I serve you when you one day take over Australia, I will also help you in whatever relationship kink shame that you feel maybe expressed in your relationship.
Look, I'm going to pretend that's a valid offer to our listeners. So do get in touch if you want him to do that.
More than happy to.
So guys, happy to have helped establish this.
Alex, we haven't done one of these with you for so long, so it's been such a delight. Mm. You have a show on ABC One that is on hiatus at the moment.
I do, yes. Hopefully we'll be back by the 4th of August.
Amazing.
It's two episodes.
It's such a good show.
Win the Week.
And if you me and Hing have both been on it.
It's true. So if you've got access to ABC iView, you can watch our old episodes of the show. Both very funny. They're both very good. Both, you know, not a waste of your time to watch. And I had a great time doing that. That's
a really good recommendation. Thank you.
While you're on public broadcaster streaming services, me and Al made a little half-hour special with Victoria Zerbst and Jenna Owen called Cancelled, which features a lot of people who've been on Freddie Who Got Home before.
I didn't get the call-up. That's interesting.
Well, you'll be interested to know, Michael, you were in a script and I just took you out. So,
wasn't he?
Yeah. And then we edited you out for, I guess, taste, really. Yeah. What do the people of the feed want to watch? Not Hing.
Not Hing.
You've had a similar chat to the EPs when they went through the fine numbers on the ratings.
Yeah. But you can check that out on SBS On Demand, or I've posted some clips from it on my socials.
It's really funny. It's really, really good. You guys have made a really fun and great thing.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun to make, and it's it's narrated by Baby John Burgess, which is a story for another time.
All right. Well, go and watch those things now. Go to iView. go to SBS On Demand and watch Win the Week and also Cancelled. I don't have anything else to plug because there's nothing going on.
Well, so, guys, until next time, bye.
Bye. If you like pina coladas and get caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight in the dunes on the Cape, then I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.